is The View from Halfway Down, an episode-by-episode analysis of the Netflix original series, BoJack Horseman.
That's Sebastian. They're the BoJack Horseman expert.
And that's Alexandra. She's the expert on being pretentious.
We try to avoid character and plot spoilers on the show, but minor things are bound to slip by, and this is going to contain major spoilers up to the current episode. And at this point, we're really getting into like big emotional stuff, aren't we? Yeah. What's the episode we're covering today?
Season 1, episode 11. So we're one episode. Next one's going to be the finale, which will be...
Of the show, right? It's been a good run.
Yes, yeah. Been great, yeah. Last episode. This episode is called Downer Ending. And it's definitely a doozy. I remember actually before we had started this show, I was like rewatching the show, but I had already been planning on like recording this podcast in the future. And I saw this episode and I was like, I am so excited to talk about this one.
Yeah.
Like, very excited.
Yeah, there is a lot in this. I think this might be a bit of a longer one.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, there's just so many different angles and points to consider here.
We'll have to try to stay on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about just the title within the context that it said in the episode and do some analysis there as well.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Let's just get into it. We got a lot to cover.
All right. Do you want me to start?
Yes, please.
Okay. So basically where we left off, Diane released, she released some parts of the book, kind of. I don't think that she actually released parts to read. I don't know.
Released the first two chapters, yes.
Okay. So BoJack's mad about that, blah, 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 blah. We'll talk about that in our discussion question thing. We're left off where BoJack is refusing to publish the book, and he seems to think that he is totally able to just write a whole book on his own in a week because, you know, Penguin Publishing is not doing well. So mm-hmm. they are on a time constraint.
It was a good bit. We need to get the book into the printers by the end of the week because that's when the repo men are coming to take our printers. Yeah, it's good.
I'm excited to see him do better. You know, he deserves a little better.
The Penguin from Penguin Publishing.
Yes.
Do we know his name?
I don't know his name, so
we'll
no.
find out later. Okay, it's fine. Okay. BoJack is being a fucking asshole this whole scene. He's
being very childish. He's almost childish, like throwing a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, it ends with Diane saying, you know, you really let me down, BoJack. And then he goes, well, you really let me down. So it's just, man, you're letting us down too, the audience. So...
Yeah, it's interesting. I think just her saying that he let her down was definitely implying that she kind of thought that he was better than that. I did mm-hmm. not think he was better than that. Like, I don't think his behavior really surprised me much.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely surprised her, which is a little weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if BoJack would notice that, it's just like, well, she didn't think that you were like this when she wrote the book, apparently. She thought you were better than this.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe think in that context, BoJack, that, yeah, she thought you were better. Or she thought you were at least something. Yeah, he says some really insulting stuff to her before going off to try to write the book, which doesn't go well. It goes about as much as well as you'd expect.
I feel like it goes way worse.
Really? You think?
If I had just been told, like, oh yeah, there's an episode where BoJack tries to write his like biography in a week, I'd be like,
distracted.
He just procrastinates for a week and like drinks whiskey all day, and then he ends up saying, oh, never mind. But that is not what happened, unfortunately.
It does seem like it's going to go that way. For a bit, he's just doing the annoying procrastination thing where it's just like focusing on all the things around the room and just spending a lot of time looking at fonts and stuff.
That was pretty funny. They seem very familiar with that creative block, I guess. Do you think that was inspired like by the writer's own experiences writing
sure.
the show?
Yeah, anyone who's created anything knows exactly what that feels like. Also, I'd like to, my favorite bit in that whole My favorite bit in that whole thing is the bit with the vacuums, because it just shows that Bojack doesn't know how vacuums work.
He just lets them all like sit there.
Well, he starts vacuuming because it's a mess. He can't live in these conditions. And then it gets full, right? And so he thinks, what's the best way to get rid of all the dust inside the vacuum? Oh, right. With another vacuum. That's how you get rid of dust. Oh,
yeah, that's true. Like, he could have just dumped out the vacuum and just used that.
Like a normal person. And so, yeah, the only way for him to do that is if he gets more vacuums. So he goes to Best Buy, gets more vacuums. It's just, it's funny. But he finally gets the brilliant idea to do some drugs and enlist both Sarah Lynn and Todd to be his co-writers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor Sarah Lynn. He's just continuing to push her in the wrong direction. I don't know how in that situation you couldn't just feel so guilty about what you were doing. Like, I don't know, just their parental relationship, just continuing to do things like that. I cannot even start to understand how he would be okay with doing those things, you know?
Yeah. I think it's, he's just in a place where nothing else really matters except, you know, his own stuff. And, well, Sarah Lynn's already messed up anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
What makes a difference? So to Doctor Who is there, and that's Sarah Lynn's doctor that just gives her whatever drugs
she
wants.
Not David Tennant, not Matt Smith, not Chris Eccleston. No.
Doctor Who HU. There's a really great, like, who's on first, like, Abbott and Costello joke in there. I loved it. They do the big confusing thing where they're like, who's who? And then Doctor Who, I don't know, third base. It was good. I really liked it. It made me happy.
Yeah, it's a pretty silly bit.
I'm glad I showed you that joke eventually, right?
What joke?
The Abbott and Costello joke. The who's on first, yes.
Yes, yeah, you did. Okay. I completely forgot about it.
Good. For a second I was like, wait, do you not know what this was? Damn it.
I just totally forgot.
Okay, yeah, it's a good one. But okay, then we get into the meat of this episode, which is an extended drug trip.
Yeah, that's mainly what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. So we should probably just, I guess, focus on it. There's a lot.
They start writing, the three of them. It's clearly just like wild. They're like not doing well on the drugs. I feel like Bojack is taking it a lot better than the other two. He looks a lot calmer than the two humans.
Okay, see, I wanted to bring that up. I realized he, like, because through this whole segment, he is taking so many fucking drugs. And I realized he's a horse. And that's, like, a whole thing. Horses can, like, there's, like, the whole thing of, like, oh, it's enough to kill a horse because it takes a fucking lot.
Yeah.
So I guess this is, like, just another reason why it's easier for him to take more.
Yeah, someone on the Discord pointed out, and I, like, facepalmed because I never realized it. The reason why Bojack eats so much is because he eats like a horse. And I feel very silly not noticing that before. So they're writing and such, and they get the idea for the ending. Bojack has forgotten what he had said, but they pointed out to him, they say that he goes to Maine. He keeps talking about how he goes to Maine. He goes swimming in the lake in the summers. And then he takes over and writes the rest of the ending. When he's too old to be taken care of, he takes one last swim and he's weak and tired and too old. And he just lets the water take him under. And that's when Todd says,
Downer ending.
Yeah. And it is, and it's interesting. Like that's what Bojack imagines as the fitting end for himself.
I
don't
know. I feel like that's a much better ending than how he's probably gonna die in his current lifestyle of probably just fucking like dying in a ditch, like of heroin overdose or something.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a lot better to me.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, at that point in that ending, we don't have him thinking about his love interest. I forget her name. What's her name again?
Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah. And so it's just him being old and, well, killing himself.
I guess, like, in my head, I had assumed that, like, since it was Nain, that she would was just, it was in that reality where he had gotten to be with her.
Yeah, it would make sense. Yeah, I don't think it's a good ending because he kills himself. Like, there's not enough, like, context around it to be like, oh, he lived a good life. It's just like, well, I'm too old to be self-sufficient. I'm too old to be good for anyone, I guess, is his implication.
I mean, we'll all get there someday.
Yeah.
Downer ending.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting that that's the name of the episode. It's also interesting that it's not the end of the season. We got one more episode after this.
I thought that too. I've actually thought that about a lot of seasons of BoJack. It always seems like episode 11 does really well and is great. And then the next one is just kind of a little weak. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I guess I'll discover that. I didn't know that it was weak. It's been a while since I
watched
it.
I guess just weak comparatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a very, very strong episode for sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the ending of the episode especially would just like make a great finale, but whatever, that's okay. Let's continue. Let's move on.
So the drug trip goes on. It escalates. They try to kill BoJack. I mean, Sarah Lynn's right. A very fitting end would be the child he basically raised on screen then grows up to kill him in real life.
I would watch something about that. That sounds super interesting. So yes. That's fair.
Yeah. But then they actually try to kill him. and it's just like chaos. And then there's a lot of hallucinations about guns. It's very funny. It's good.
I honestly kind of hate that scene. I do think like it's funny with the broomsticks, but something about like cartoon blood, I really hate. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, I like it a lot in like anime. I think it looks really good. But in like stuff like Family Guy, like the chicken fights and stuff, or yeah, like this whole thing. I really, really like, just, it makes me feel really unsettled and like not good. And the fact that they were playing like Death Grips in the background did not help me calm down.
What, did you get hyped though?
No, not really in the context, because it was like sad.
Yeah, it
was. But with like Death Grips, like, music playing in the background, which is just a whole other thing.
Well, the part of that I do like, and it makes the like violence of it and being like Uncanny Valley a little bit more enjoyable. It's for a second, then BoJack like screams and there's like thunder and lightning and it's like a close-up of his face, you know, like a panicked horse. Just like that trope. I don't know, I just really liked it. So they're about to like shoot each other with their brooms that might be guns, Todd and BoJack. And then he's like, wait, Todd, hold on. Are we doing it just because like this is what we got to do right now because we're on drugs? Or are you doing this because you're mad at me about ruining your attempt at stardom?
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about that because his response relates a lot to, like, I think our discussion question on that episode, that he was upset and then he realized that that was just how BoJack was and he needed to stop expecting him to be a good person so he won't get hurt whenever he's not. Yeah. Which my heart would, like, shatter if somebody told me that.
Fuck, yeah.
It's horrible. Especially, like, Todd, again, this is just a situation where another situation where somebody that has finally like really gotten to know BoJack has decided that he is not a good person.
Yeah. And even more than Diane, because Diane was still disappointed, right? Yeah. I guess that's like, that's her, what was the name of the video game? Decapathon 7.
I think. Seven.
So this, BoJack being all upset and childish about this is her Decapathon 7. Now she's finally disappointed, and I wonder if she's going to stop expecting him to be a good person, or if she already has.
Right. Yeah, there seems to be, like, just one little thing that he does that's just really awful, and that kind of turns people away. Honestly, I feel like even in those situations, he could still redeem himself, because, like, Todd and Diane, seem like good people who understand that things are hard and they understand BoJack. But I think that he doesn't see it that way. I think that he's kind of seeing it as like it's – I mean, clearly this whole thing is about him being afraid that it's too late to change and that he can't redeem himself.
And so. He's also just afraid to even try. We get a lot of stuff about him saying that he can't. He can't.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer. It's interesting, though. So the like – So what gets me about the, then I realize that's just how you are. I need to stop expecting to be a good person so I won't get hurt when you're not. Like that actually, when that's self-talk actually, like there are contexts where that's actually really important and helpful to like accept the, you know, the sick parts of yourself that you can't change. Like my depression and stuff, like obviously I need to demand myself to get out of bed every morning and to do all the things I need to do and to stay focused and stuff like that. But like, I also need to not be disappointed in myself whenever I don't do that because it doesn't help. It just makes me feel bad and makes me wallow.
Yeah, you have to reach like a level of acceptance where you're still trying to improve where you can.
Yeah, but also, yeah, not like, and just like living with and around those bad things, because then it's kind of like, well, you can sort of blame yourself in another way of like you not having a good understanding of what you're actually like. And so Todd now has like a good understanding of what BoJack's actually like. And so if BoJack screws him over again, he kind of is going to blame himself because it's like, well, I should have expected that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's interesting because it's like, that's super disappointing, but like also maybe it's necessary. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've definitely had to like set those boundaries in my head with people I know, and that kind of sucks. But it is good. Like it's true. Like if you do just change your expectations and you are not going to be hurt as much. Like if you know that somebody is like a really flaky person, then you're not going to be as disappointed whenever like they don't show up for something. Cause you're just already going to anticipate them not to come. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like I also think specifically like parents, this is a really good thing to expect because I don't know, it's really hard as a child to, or as one of their children to get them to change on anything. And so it very much feels like, yep, well, this is who they want to be. They probably don't want to change. They're not going to want to change from your desires. They have to change from their own, and that's pretty unlikely. So just live with who they are.
Yeah, and that's probably really confusing too, like as a child, because what you see around you, you're perceiving as what you're supposed to have. Mm-hmm. So if you see other families that have these things that you don't, then it'll probably just lead to a lot of frustration. And yeah, just, I don't know. I don't think that I was probably like mature enough as a child to understand that, like, and all that. I don't think many kids are.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, let's move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the first things that starts off his kind of dream sequence that he falls into is, I mean, we think that he's woken up and he's not tripping anymore, but obviously he is. and he dreams of Diane. And I feel like, you know, BoJack is going through a really scary time. And he dreams of, like, kissing her. And she's, like, comforting him and saying that he's, like, that he's good and all these things. And then just really suddenly it gets really gross and nasty. And, like, I don't know. The scene was really intense.
Akira and Junji Ito. I recognize several like motifs that are present in those works. Like her face like splits. Actually, I have the short story from Junji Ito where it's got like the same split faces sort of thing. Yeah, she turns into like a flesh monster and starts dragging him in. And he only escapes by retreating further into the drug trip. And he's like running through his mind next.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was trying to think about like why that happened in his drug trip. Cause I mean, I'm pretty sure like all these scenes have a lot of meaning to take from them. And I think for the most part that was more just like that his feelings for Diane are just so strong and our brains have like, you know, that whole thing where like, if you think something is really like adorable, you want to like squeeze it.
Okay.
I feel like that might be like the part, because it's just like whenever you feel something so intensely, your brain doesn't really know what to do with those emotions, so it acts out aggressively. I feel
could
like
be, yeah, yeah,
that may be kind of what was going on. That he's really torn up about that whole thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have like an instinct to really read into the like flesh monstery bits of it.
Yeah, like, I was thinking that too. And I'm like, I don't think that it's actually really, I don't think there's anything there.
Like if I was going to, it'd be like, oh, it's because he has like a physical attraction to her. But it's like, we haven't really paid attention to the physical attraction in this story. Like it's come up like in dialogue a couple times, but that's it.
Yeah, it does seem mostly like, I honestly feel like their connection is mostly emotional. Like the only reason that he's probably physically attracted is because he's emotionally attracted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he only fantasizes about her in two positions. So it's like, yeah.
Do you think that PB and Diane only do doggy style?
I can't. No, we're stop. I don't. I can't do this. All right, so he's running through his
head. Gosh, wait, do you think that Diane and Bojack would do cowgirls?
Stop.
I'm sorry. But
well, we saw what Sarah Lynn and him did. Like, she literally rode him like a horse, on his back.
Well, anyways.
Yeah, anyways, please. please move us on, Sebastian.
Okay, so, yeah, after that, he moves on into the rest of his little dreamscape, and we just see a sequence of him kind of running through a handful of what seems to be just like really core moments in his life. Mm-hmm. So what do you remember from that sequence, Alex?
Well, the ones that you wrote for sure. And that was the part where he's running through his head. It's funny because like there's a bunch of like objects just floating in his brain. It was just fun. But he runs through getting teased at school, his parents forgetting to pick him up, sneezing on Marissa Tomei.
Tomei.
It's a funny scene. I'm glad we finally saw it. The bit with Herb is really good, where Bojack is in his like old like 90s like style or 80s style, and Herb is telling him, but he's like old and cancerous. Tells him,
and
that,
there's a kaleidoscope background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it, shapes and colors of which he's never seen before.
That's right. Yeah. And Herb tells him he'll never forgive him, and then Herb turns into a skeleton, which I thought was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Mr. Peanut Butter is like a big threat. What do you take about that one?
Yeah, so I was trying to think about that because there's the first part, he's running through like the diner and everybody in it is just, it's just like a bunch of duplicates of Mr. Peanut Butter. And then he reaches just one giant version of him. And I don't know, I kind of saw that as like, I mean, he does pick on Mr. Peanut Butter a lot, which makes me feel like, you know, considering this scene, that he's really, really feels insignificant next to him. And he also probably feels, like he's very threatening in regards to, like, Diane, in regards to his career. He can't really escape him because, I mean, he's Diane's boyfriend, or I guess Diane's husband, and he works in all, like, the same industry stuff. And that's interesting because I feel like they haven't really touched a lot on that. We've mostly just seen him kind of acting a little bit petty towards him. So I had no idea it was like that big of a thing.
Yeah. What we've seen of him is mostly like the like competitiveness, but not necessarily the insecurity aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
The animation trick I think that we like the most is when the animators take away his outlines.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And he starts dissolving into his surroundings. He says, "I don't have outlines anymore. There is no boundary between me and space," which I really like that statement. And it's a bit existential, the whole, the sort of like losing the self and blending into your environment. Normally, I think in psychedelic sort of trips, that's shown as a good thing, right? Of like feeling that you're everything at once. But I think for Bojack, that was just a moment of terror. That he's not safe anymore.
Yeah, he definitely didn't seem to react excitedly about it.
No. Yeah, and then we transition from that into he's treading water in the painting.
Oh, yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah, Bojack and Diane are really watching, and Bojack says, shouldn't we help him? And Diane says, no, he loves treading water.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely wanted to talk about that. I had actually never heard this quote, like this saying before. I didn't know what treading water meant. Mm. So I looked it up, and I felt like the definition is significant, so I'm going to read it. Mm-hmm. Treading water is what a swimmer can do in a vertical position to keep their head above the surface while not providing sufficient directional thrust to overcome inertia and propel the swimmer in any specific direction.
Mm.
So this means that Bojack has been completely like stagnated and just barely keeping himself from drowning for presumably a really long time, and that he clearly wants help and he doesn't feel like anyone actually sees that.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, you know, we have this I can't motif. I think we're going to get back to again a couple more times. But, you know, treading water is like a specific action you do, right? It's not just like he's not just like just drowning. He's not just like struggling and splashing around, right?
Right.
He's
taking only the necessary actions to barely keep him afloat.
Right. If he really tried, or at least it sort of implies that there's a possibility that he can reach out further and swim a little bit harder and be able to go where he needs to go.
Or maybe if he just communicated that he felt this way and that he did need help, that somebody would be able to help him.
Yeah, I agree, but also I feel like maybe it's like he has to choose to help himself and like I don't know, asking for help is important, but like yeah, a lot of times I feel like there's sort of an implication of like I need you to save me rather than I'm need like help saving myself, you know? I don't know. Yeah. You wrote very Evangelion here.
Yeah, there's like another part of like the animation where he starts to turn into like pencil marks and like the sketches. And it just reminded me a lot of the last episode of Evangelion, which I figured you might want to talk about a little bit.
I do remember that.
Talking about Neon Genesis.
Yeah, we need to record that episode talking about it. I still have to see the movie. But yeah, that's... The end of Evangelion, the show, is really, really weird and interesting. I don't really want to get into it more than that, but it's definitely the sort of... I feel like the animators definitely had a lot of fun with this. I mean, in the beginning of the drug trip, Bojack sees himself as a hyper-realistic horse in the mirror. And of course, we have all these little tricks here and there, and they're clearly like having fun with it.
Yeah, they're... like just referencing Neon Genesis, I actually was watching this show called Craig of the Creek the other day. It's like a newer Cartoon Network show. It's actually really cool. Jeff Rosenstock did like the theme song for them, which is kind of crazy.
Who's that?
He's like a punk artist. Cool. Yeah. There's like some lesbian witches in it. A lot of like really funny characters, but there's like a scene where they're out and like they find this little like cave where like these nerd boys are like hanging out, and they have a poster in there that says Sad Boy Pilot Geddon, and it's like very clearly a Neon Genesis poster.
Okay.
Which I think is really funny.
Well, Evangelion definitely is about sad boys.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah. Or the sad boy. It's very feminine. It's interesting. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that show at some point. But yes.
Yes.
The next like really interesting bit is he's on the horse and around set, and he's confused and scared. And Herb comes out to tell him that his line that he has to say is, "This is all I am and all I'll ever be," which he does.
Yeah, he says it. He seems to believe it whenever he says it.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting.
You have here sexualizing Sarah Lynn. He must feel guilty about this. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, there's so while he's on the set, you have like kid Sarah Lynn, who I don't even literally, I don't even want to say what she says because it she makes me for so uncomfortable.
A penis butter and vajelli sandwich.
I absolutely like despise that line. I feel like maybe that's purposeful though. Like, I don't know. Seeing her say that made me like upset. And then they show her as like a cranky teeny bopper saying the same thing.
I think she's 38 just, like that, but I agree, yes.
Well, I don't know if she was a teenager in that or not. She kind of looks the same, but yes. I don't know, considering that it was in this sequence of like pretty basically the most significant things that he was upset about. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that he really does have like some deep-rooted guilt about all of that.
Apparently not enough.
Yeah, I think he's just like really deep in denial.
Then he starts sinking through the floor of his apartment. It's tar, clearly. And Charlotte says, Charlotte shows up, the deer that is his love interest and sort of represents like the better future he could have taken. It says, why don't you just come with me to Maine? And he says, I can't. I'm sinking and I can't get out.
He says the floor is tar.
Yeah, yeah. And then he starts considering going with her because she's asked him to. And then Todd shows up as an old man in front of two cosmic paths.
That was very, like, psychedelic.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It's also fun. One path spirals off into space and stuff. Like, that's Todd's path. That is, I don't know. That's the one that he would talk about for sure. But he says, isn't it too late to change your path, Bojack? You already chose this one, you know. You can't really change your path. You have a bit more written about the tar pit here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're just kind of referencing the LA is a tar pit conversation that was happening between Charlotte and Bojack whenever Charlotte was deciding to go to Maine and Bojack was about to go to LA. Like, they were, or I don't know if they were actually already in LA. I don't know, but he was going to be in LA like for a while, like indefinitely, and she was going to Maine. And that was kind of the conversation that they had where she was saying, like, don't turn into this whole other person. LA is a tar pit. And he just kind of laughed it off. It turns out she was right. And he's regretting his choices. I think that this is like a little bit ridiculous too. Like, he's pinning everything that went wrong in his life on this one decision of just like going this one way instead of this other way, and just assuming that like him and Charlotte would have gotten married and had a child, stayed together forever, had a beautiful cabin out in Maine. Like, also, I did not see him work one day in that whole fantasy. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry, how did this happen? Like,
he chopped some wood, so
it's just very clearly like unrealistic. Like, it obviously there it would not have been as perfect as he's picturing. It was just very childish, which that keeps coming up honestly in this episode as well.
He still seemed like a dick. Like, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but like, he comes in and he just says like this joke about like, you know, guy at the store said, we're in for some weather. And he's all like, what does that even mean? Some weather. It's always weather. It's like, that's not.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like one of his like typical like little bits that he does.
Yeah. And it's not funny. It's just like mocking. It's like, you know what he meant? Bitter. Like, yeah, it's still like asshole humor. And it so did not.
That actually reminds me of kind of like what I want to talk about as far as our discussion question for this week. I'm just curious if people feel like if he had decided to go to Maine and do this instead of or even if he had just decided to not pursue acting, not to go live in LA, would he be like a good person, or would he kind of still maybe turned out similar? Maybe he'd be like still really bad, but just in different ways. I'm curious what people think about that. Cause I
would
really
lean
know.
That direction for sure.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it does seem to stem from his parents. So
yeah. Well, the interesting thing. So you're emphasizing how he focuses on this one wrong turn, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, he also he had so many steps here in LA that he could have changed paths. It's not
that's true.
Like, yeah, like even now he can choose to take a different path. Like the path isn't one single one that leads to one destination. It's like endlessly forking off. And he can take the ones that lead to a better one. He can go to Maine now, you know. Charlotte won't be there, I'm sure, but like he could go. We get a when he's struggling in the tar pit, he says that he can't. We then transition to him hiding under the table, saying that he can't. He's in a little sailor costume, which he always is, apparently. And his mother says, "Can't lives in a house on Won't Street," which what does that even mean? Like, what does that even imply?
It means that he can, but he just won't. That he can, but he's choosing not to, which is interesting.
Okay.
Maybe that's good advice, actually. Because he keeps telling himself he can't do these things.
Yeah, yeah. And
like he just won't do these things. He just won't change.
Except he did go out and do the lollipop song in front of the supper time club or whatever it is. Because he wanted to earn his mother's love.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, like, on one hand, we have it in the tar pit, like, "I can't" is like, okay, but you should anyway. And then on the other hand, he's saying "I can't" and it's not being respected. And he's having to, like, throw away his feelings to get a crumb of mother's love.
Yeah.
So two, like, very different contexts for the same sort of dilemma.
Yeah, she goes on a whole spiel about how basically, like, performing and entertaining people is the only thing that he's going to be good for. So whether he feels like doing it or not, it's just what he has to do to have value and to be loved, which reminded me a lot of Sarah Lynn and how she was raised as well. I think that that may be, like, one reason why they seem to be, like, I don't know, so, like, intertwined with each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he basically said the exact same thing to her, didn't he? In that episode, he, like, says that they're the only ones that will ever care for you.
I thought that you were referencing whenever he, I know he's told, like, that just reminded me, he has told her, like, yeah, like, "You and I are the only ones who really know what it was like to, you know, be on that show and what it was like to have to do that." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. He did give, like, pretty much the same speech to her whenever she was a kid.
I think she was also hiding under a table, actually.
Yeah, she was.
Interesting. Yeah.
That is really interesting. Damn. So BoJack had a child in his life and fucked her up the same way that his mother fucked him up.
Yeah. I think she was under the table as part of the scene, but otherwise, yeah. Yes. Then in the dream sequence, his mother dies, and then he sees his own grave before stumbling back into, like, a Peanuts advice stand where a little cartoon, well, obviously it's cartoon, but like Peanuts style, Diane has set up a little 5 cents for advice stand, and he talks to her and gets some advice.
Yeah, which is, like, dumb because it's just his subconscious, and she kind of points that out, and he's, like, demanding that, like, he comfort her and tell him that, like, it's not too late. She's like, "I mean, I'll tell you whatever you want, but it's just, like, it's just you, you know?"
Yeah, and, but, like, it's also, she does say it. She says it in a confident way, in an enthusiastic way. "It's never too late to be the person you want to be." Mm. Like, that's a good thing to hear, isn't it? And, yeah. Like, I don't think that's a negative thing at all.
No, no, no. And that's interesting because it is coming from BoJack.
Right.
So maybe there's still some hope that he has right now.
Right. At the end of the episode, you know, he's asking for that from the real Diane. Essentially,
and it does not go the same way.
No, and but it's, like, interesting. It's just like he's already telling himself, why does he need it from someone else, you know?
Yeah, no, I do feel like Diane could have been more crazy. Honestly, we can jump to that part and then go back to the sequence with Harper and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, that scene is crazy. It was so very good, intense. But yeah, he goes on a honestly, definitely, like, one of, like, the best parts of the show where he's basically begging Diane to tell him and reassure him that he's a good person underneath all the bad stuff that he's a good person or there, which we've, you know, discussed those things in our discussion questions. So we all have our own opinions about that. But yeah, he just keeps begging and she's not really saying anything. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of fucking pressure to put on someone in the moment. Yeah. He says, it's not too late for me, right? Please, I need you to tell me that I'm a good person. It's just like,
she didn't need to tell him he was a good person, but she should have been like, yeah, like, you can change. Like, just try, you know?
I don't think she needed to do anything because, like, that's crazy to demand that of someone at a fucking, like, conference. That's nuts.
That's true.
In public, yeah.
That's true.
And he's like, you know, just save me for my own self. I'm putting all of my self-worth into your words.
Yeah, that is
just
a lot.
Suddenly it's just like, well, that's a sign of like, well, you're still not taking any of the steps to be a good person. This is still selfish and narcissistic and self-destructive. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, he's definitely in like a moment of desperation. And yeah, she just kind of continues not to say anything. And then we hear like silence for a second, as I think in that moment, BoJack is kind of like realizing, I don't know, that the silence is speaking to him and it's resonating that it is too late for him, which it sucks because it did seem like he did have some hope. And then he kind of hears this faint sound of like a creek babbling and birds cooing from his, you know, whole thing about being at the lake in Maine and whatever. That was not great. That was sad.
Yeah.
That like hurt a little bit.
The far off opportunity that is gone. Then the episode ending with
ugh.
Hey, aren't you the horse from Horse in the Round?
That was just back fucking in awful. The 90s,
I was in a very famous TV show.
Yeah, that was awful. They do have like a real skill at ending their episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they for sure. Always just end with just giving you this horrible sinking feeling in your stomach. They're really good at that. Jumping back. Yes.
Let's go back to the cabin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's in a cabin. That's where he goes kind of after the peanut stand thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's married to Charlotte. The first thing we have is that he says, you know, I wanted to stay like this forever. And nothing for nothing to change. And she says no because I'm pregnant, and he's like happy about it, which is nice.
She says it's like 80% yours. Like, yes. I'm sure of it. Like 80% sure, which was really funny.
Yeah, it was good, and it's just like, yeah, they do have like a compatible sense of humor.
Yeah, and goofy.
So I want to say two things though. So we see Harper, which is his kid, so two things I want to point out is one, when BoJack and Charlotte kiss, they both have to lean so far back because they have long horse and deer faces.
That's cute. So,
yeah, they just have to like bend backwards in order to kiss. And then second, did you get the sense that Harper looked a little messed up? Because she's literally like a crossbreed.
Oh, I did between not a deer and a horse. That.
I mean, she's just like a child, but like. But yeah, so we see like Harper growing up in a couple scenes with the two of them.
They were very cute scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Very adorable. Yeah,
and when he's around Harper, he definitely seems like a better person. Like even just like his tone of voice is just nicer.
Mm-hmm.
Harper asks where the stars go during the day, and he says, "We can't see the stars because the sun is shining." And I know it's just like a little thing of just like him teaching her something, but it's also, I don't know, it's a strong statement. Like, we can't see the pretty thing in the background because there's something even more beautiful in front, I guess. I don't know. Just there's something there.
Yeah, maybe. I did not really think about it, so I don't have a strong thing to say. I didn't see that note yesterday, so yeah, I have not really thought about it at all.
Yeah, but she grows up. She's playing with a human boy in that lake. Charlotte and BoJack are just having a nice moment together.
And cracked in some cold ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a nice moment. And then that whole scene ends with Charlotte going, I was just thinking about how nice it would be if you'd actually chosen this life instead. And then he wakes up alone in an empty parking lot.
It's like raining. It's like garbage everywhere. Dirty LA like bar parking lot. That was a horrible transition. Like I could physically feel how much worse it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Princess Carolyn's like, oh yeah, all that stuff that you guys wrote, it's like insane. It's just rambling. 20
Doctor
pages
Who
of
erotic fiction.
Yeah. 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 It's good. And he's just like, he doesn't even respond because he doesn't care anymore.
No. He seems to do this a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to the ending scene. Mm-hmm. A couple of things. So he like shows up and he's like, you're a better writer than me, which is like, of fucking course she's a better, like, you didn't even have to say that. Come on,
yeah,
BoJack.
She's
like,
a writer.
Yeah.
And he's literally not a writer.
Right. Like, don't put yourself in the same competition. You're not. Like,
yeah.
That was almost insulting by itself.
Yeah, I agree.
But he also says, you can publish the book. I don't even care anymore what people think of me. And he does that a lot too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he did the same thing. After Herb, I think there's at least one other time where he's like, I just don't care anymore. The thing is, you do. Maybe not in this right this second.
Yeah.
But you will care again very soon because
BoJack
that's all you care
about.
BoJack
is mentally ill and
he
gets depressed and he does not care. And then he gets manic and decides to change things, but he doesn't do it actually efficiently because he's being manic. And
interesting.
He commits to all these things and then it all hits again. And
so are you diagnosing a BoJack with manic depression?
I'm diagnosing BoJack with which one? I know that there's like the angrier one and the sadder one, type one and type two. Whichever one's the sad one, I'm gonna diagnose him with that one.
Sure.
That's like a very, very simplified explanation that is not accurate at all. I apologize.
But. Yeah, it's has a different thing. It's interesting. How some media does portray mental illnesses really well without even intending to. I've talked about this a couple of times in different places. I don't know if I mentioned on this podcast, but I was reading Jane Eyre, which is a book written a long, long time ago, and there's a character in it that has textbook ADHD, like absolutely like diagnosable from just what we hear about her. And this was like, again, written like in the 1800s. And so it's interesting because these mental illnesses have always been like around, and some people like recognize it that it's like a specific type, and then other times like, yeah, the portrayal is way off and people have no idea what they're actually portraying.
Yeah, that seems to happen more often than not.
Right, right.
I know they had like in Shameless, one of the characters ended up like being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and they were so overdramatic with it. Like I remember watching and it was just so like theatrical that it was like pissing me off. Like I get that it's extremely serious and that like some of the things that they were showing are definitely real, but it was all just like too I don't know, it was just like too much. Like it's not as like easy to see. It's not as they were oversimplifying it, I guess.
Yeah, before we had the diagnoses, like these were just normal people, you know?
It's like, oh, like, yeah, he's just like got mood swings.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a moody guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and we just, you know, start recognizing those patterns. Eventually, we put a label on it and we can see it more often. But for the most part, it's just like a blend of all the other characteristics of each person.
Yeah.
So that's a good tangent.
Oh, yeah, I did want to mention, I think part of why he's like so easily apologizing to Diane and blah blah blah, he did just have like a psychedelic trip, so I'm thinking ego death possibly.
What do you mean by ego death?
Temporary ego death more likely, but I mean there's just like the whole thing of whenever you do psychedelics you go through like an ego death where you see what's like really important and you realize that like I don't know, you don't want to pretend anymore, and you have an easier time being honest with yourself. Mm. Psychedelics tend to unlock a lot of like repressed things, ways that you're in denial, and you have to be honest with yourself and sort through a lot of emotions. And that kind of, I think, makes you want to be honest with other people too. But yeah, that's a term that they use a lot. And I was just wondering if that had anything to do with kind of how he was acting.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like he was not as productive as that, for sure.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, sometimes it is bad like that. It really depends on what you're thinking about.
Yeah, he did realize some things, but he clearly is just like, the conclusion is not coming from himself. He's demanding the conclusion from Diane, and she's refusing to give that to him, which is totally within her right. Yeah, so I'm excited to see next episode, because we usually pick off exactly where we left off. I'm wondering if we're going to skip over like the end of this conference, or if we're going to see her answer.
Well, I guess we'll see.
All right, that's the episode. Do y'all think that was enough analysis? I feel like we covered every single scene in that drug trip sequence.
I think we did. Oh, you know what? There was one thing just to mention quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't have to talk about it too much, but I do feel like it's kind of important. There's a part where they read, like, in the beginning of the episode, a part of the book that Diane wrote, and she's talking about how BoJack is, like, you know, always bragging about material items and belongings and those sort of accomplishments. And she like analyzed him and figured out why. And she was basically describing his parents as like his mom being the heiress to the sugar cube fortune. So she is very used to certain comforts. And then his working class father was constantly failing to provide those comforts. So that was kind of a really big factor in their constant bickering and how kind of BoJack saw things. So that may have something to do with some things. But yeah, I feel like it's definitely worth mentioning.
Yeah. There was also another bit that we didn't mention at the beginning where Diane is asserting that the reason that people like Secretariat and like the BoJack in this book is because they're flawed and relatable. And then BoJack says, maybe that's what sad fatty people need to feel good about their sad fatty people lives, but not for BoJack. BoJack is supposed to be known as a stud, as a superhero. And it's like, you were like a guy on a sitcom. What are you talking about?
Yeah, good fucking point. Jesus.
Yeah. And also, yeah, it's such a gross thing to say too.
He's very immature for his age, but that makes sense because as we have determined, he just completely froze in the 90s. So
yeah. Well, boys mature slower. So, you know, just give him some time and he'll get there, I'm sure. Yeah. It's unfair to demand the same out of him as you would out of like Diane.
I was watching this show that they just added to Netflix called, I think it's called Old Enough. It's like a really old, like, Japanese, like, reality show. And basically they just have, like, these kids that are, like, ranging from age 2 to 4. And they like, film them and their parents, like, make them, like, go do this, like, very adult task. And, like, the camera crew, like, films them just, like, going out to do this. It's usually, like, running an errand, like, going to the grocery store. They're so little and it is so cute. But I noticed while watching it, there is relevance. They would have, like, a 2-year-old girl go do this thing. She would be, like, she was handling this stuff like better than I do. Like she knew what she was doing, where she was going. Like she had her shit together. Got to the boys who were like 4. They were like drawing on the walls.
Oh,
and
my
like
gosh.
There was one of them kept like just like running out and like playing with like this dog and like doing all this stuff.
Dogs are distracting.
They were just very clearly like not quite caught up. Which was very funny. I don't know. It's a really cute show.
What's the name of it again?
Old Enough.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's adorable. I like it a lot.
Well, on that slightly more pleasant note, let's talk about the discussion questions. What was the? Do you want to pose a discussion question for this week?
Yeah. So to reiterate that, just want to know like if you guys think that Bojack would have been better if he had gone to Maine instead of LA. And
is that even the right question to ask? Not in the sense of like I'm critiquing the question, but just like that's the question that Bojack is definitely asking. And
obviously it's deeper than that. It's not that right. Simple.
Yeah.
And then also I'm just wondering like what if anybody else picked up anything else from the trip sequence also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. They put most of the funny stuff right in the middle as the trip was starting and they were just being ridiculous, mm-hmm. but then it got barely serious as it went on.
Yeah.
What was the discussion question from last week?
So last week we asked everybody if it was okay for Diane to leak parts of her book and why she felt motivated to do that and why Bojack was just so immediately against the book, like unreasonably against the book.
What was the answers that we got?
Well, we got a lot of spoilers on our Reddit. I don't think it's any of like our regular listeners that are doing that because we have lovely listeners. But I have decided that I will now be reading the Reddit responses and Alex is no longer allowed. So
I'll keep out.
Yeah, apparently we have to which is a little difficult
because I'm the one that posted Reddit threads. So.
I know. We'll figure that out.
I'm sure we will.
There was a little back and forth, but most people think that either way, like no matter what Diane's motive was to do that, that it wasn't okay. Like that was agreed upon by everyone that she should not have done that. She didn't have a right to do that. Some people thought that it was artistic pride and just like being upset about like Bojack insulting her work, mm-hmm. And wanting to prove him wrong. And other people just thought it was purely just out of petty anger. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with that. I don't think that it was really, I mean, I think that the pride maybe led to some of that anger, but mm-hmm. I think it was mostly just her being upset and reacting poorly.
Yeah, definitely not at its core altruistic.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I think that's all we have for y'all this episode. If you want to answer the discussion question, please go check out the Reddit thread, which is on the BoJack Horseman subreddit. We make sure to tweet it out. So if you need a link to it, go to @VHDcast or hop onto the Discord where there's already a lot of discussion going on about each episode as they come out. What are some of the other ways that people can reach us?
They can email us at halfwaydowncast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. If you just want to let us know how you felt about the podcast or want to tell us off or whatever else, you can go ahead and do that. Also, consider leaving a rating and review wherever you get your podcast. That really helps out with us getting on the algorithm and stuff or whatever
the system please. Is. Yes.
Yeah. And of course, check out some of the other shows on the Doof Media Network. There's a ton going on all the time. The Doofcast just covered Alien for the third time, which I think is really fun. I don't remember what the second time that they covered it was, but they covered it one time normally. And then this third time, they're covering it as part of their Deconstructing Director series. So looking at Alien from the angle of... understanding all of Ridley Scott's shows and movies and stuff. So I think that's a really cool angle.
You're telling me that they'll cover Alien three times, but they won't do anime?
Well, they've covered anime. They just don't like it. That's the issue. They covered Twilight Magi Magica.
Yeah, but that was on like a separate thing, wasn't it?
No, it was on the Doofcast. No, you're talking about me and Jarvis. We covered it also on Doofovers, a bonus content show, $10 or more, and you can listen to that.
I think that we should watch Punchline with them.
Yes. Oh my God. They would hate it so much. There would literally be nothing redeemable for them.
I mean, yeah, so far I don't have any analysis to say regarding that show.
I really
except
like
for Awooga.
Oh my God. Punchline is a It's a horny anime where a guy gets superpowers whenever he sees panties. Something like that. It's really weird.
It's so funny.
It's funny, though.
That animation is really good, too. Honestly, yeah, like, the character designs are great.
Yeah, the anime superhero girl, she has a drinking straw because her name is Strange Juice.
Strange Juice.
That's her superhero name. I love her.
Yeah.
All right. That's everything. We're done.
Yes.
Sebastian, please bow us out. Tell us, what is our animal fact of the week?
Today's animal fact of the week is that squirrels are so closely related to rats that when a squirrel is really unhealthy, its furry body and tail can even diminish to the point of a close rat-like resemblance.
Well, Sebastian, that's nuts.
Shut the fuck up. Oh my gosh.
I'll put that at the end.
No!
Why?
I don't want you to.
Why?
Can we start recording? Can I start
the
show?
Yeah, it's you're the one that has to do the intro.
Okay, well, you have to shut the fuck up for 2 seconds in order for me to do that.
No, that's not true, actually, because I can just mute the part where I'm talking. So really... You-